It is another Sunday morning. Let's celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why we are here. Let's celebrate his resurrection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Pick your Bibles and let's pick a text and let me prophesy without any argument. No argument. John chapter 6. Let's pick our text this Sunday morning and one verse 38. Hallelujah. 1 verse 38. John chapter 6 and verse 38. Let's pick our text from there. Verse 38. John chapter 6. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. Be seated. And I had to go back to this message I preached a few years back to reemphasize something. We have new people that visit us here. They hear us, they see our tracts, they hear us say certain things and that go contrary to what they believe is the will of God. And it's important that we let the people understand the will of God. It's important. Last Friday, a sister asked a question. I don't know if that sister is here, concerning women, pastor. I don't know if you are here this morning with us. Okay, you don't. She's not here, but I think I tried to answer her. And you can see the way she asked that question. Is she here today? Concerning women preachers. Okay. And when I, after that question, after the vigil, I got very worried. And I found out that, including our online members and new people joining us here, you should know certain things. It's not our own church order. It is a Christian church order. Hallelujah. And so some of these things, we'll be saying them over and over and over and hope that people will get their bearing right in worshiping this God of Israel. And so many of you, maybe we were not here during the vigil. If you are not here, wave your hand. You, for any reason, you couldn't come. Don't worry, I will not tell you to stand up. Only your hand, bend down your head and let your hand go up. Bend down your head shamelessly, but confidently put up your hand. God bless you. This is what happened. Just watch the screen or listen at the question and the answer session last Friday.
Praise the Lord. Amen. This is my second time here. I came on Tuesday and I was given a tract. Won your pastor.
Yes. Have you won him?
Okay, I was reading it and some things struck me. What really struck me was the fact that as a woman, I cannot do some things in church. Even when I'm gifted with it. Like the first sister who spoke, you said something because you are a woman. Why can't I do some things that I'm actually gifted with? Why can't I preach when I have the gift of preaching? Okay? Why can't I climb that pulpit because I'm a woman? I don't understand it.
The answer to your question is very, very simple. Why can't I do this? The only reason is because you are a woman.
Okay.
And those things are supposed to be done by men according to the word of the Lord.
Okay. Because I'm a woman, I don't understand. I don't understand you right now.
Now, hold on. I gave you, is anybody with a copy of that tract? Everything we brought out there, we gave scriptures for them.
The scripture I saw.
Yes.
In fact, to me, I'm not going to say anything.
No, please say it.
No.
You have microphone. Say anything you like.
No. It said there that I shouldn't confuse with the fact that, okay. I think I really need that.
It's here. It's for you. Let me write that track so I know what is there.
Okay, he said, do not misconstrue Paul's meaning in Galatians 3, verse 8. Yes, we are all one in Christ, being all redeemed by the same blood. But when it comes to leadership offices as servants of God, now I feel like there's a disparity here. We that shouldn't be in the house of God.
Which disparity?
Disparity of men and women. Now, for the fact that I'm in the house of God should be a place I should be the freest. I have a gift of preaching, of teaching, and I cannot do that in my church because I'm a woman.
I can see this is a gender activist here. Woman liberation. Give her a Bible. Give her a Bible. Okay, you are here with your Bible. Can you, let me get your understanding of 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 11, 12, 13. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 11.
Okay. Okay, it says, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection.
Now, learn what?
Let the woman learn in silence.
Yes.
With all subjection.
Yes. What is your understanding of that verse?
Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. Okay.
Before you continue to verse 12. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14.
Okay, 1 Corinthians
14. Chapter 14. Verse 34.
Let a woman keep silent in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as said the Lord.
What do you understand by these two phrases?
Okay. I understand that from what I just read, that
yes.
Women, but it actually hurts, that women should be silent in the church.
Yes.
But I don't understand something. Why is it like that?
Why? Now go back to 1 Timothy chapter 2.
Okay. I notice this church has a prophetess. Then why would she...
No, wait now. I want to answer why it will be like that.
No. Why, if you feel she should be silent, or if she should just be dormant in the congregation, then why do you have her as a prophetess?
That's why now, you ask, why should the woman be silent in the church? Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 2 again. Then I will explain your answer for you. 1 Timothy chapter 2 again. The reason why they should be silent. Shut up. Okay, verse 12. See what he said there. Read it now.
But I suffer not a woman to teach.
To teach?
Not to usurp authority over the man,
but
to be in silence.
Now, when a woman is prophesying, Is she exercising authority? Eh?
No.
When a woman says, I see a vision like this, she exercising authority? When a woman is going out and evangelizing on the street, is she exercising authority? No. But when a woman, the emphasis is to teach. And when they say teach, it's not saying teach in Inewe University. He is teaching men righteousness, teaching men God's redemption plan, teaching men the gospel as a teacher, as a pastor. The reason is, go on to verse 13.
For Adam was first formed.
The reason why a woman cannot teach the man is what? Number one, Adam was first formed, then Eve. That is seniority. Uh-huh.
Seniority.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. And
second,
Adam,
this is the second reason now.
And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression.
Why are you not reading it confidently when you come to this one?
No, but
why are you chewing it back?
Okay, I'm not actually chewing it, but
Say it confidently now, woman liber. Listen, that is the reason. When I say that the man is the senior, you say senior, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11.
Verse what?
From verse 2. Two, okay. 3, 4.
1 Corinthians 11, verse 2.
Yes.
Okay. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances that I delivered them
you
to you.
You keep the ordinances that he always delivered to you as a church. Verse 3. Listen. Read on verse 3.
But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ.
Uh-huh.
And the head of the woman is the man. and the head of Christ is God.
So, who is the woman head of? We are reading Bible. You see, sister, don't mistake this. I permit not a woman to teach. In the Bible, listen, she's listening, she's coming here, she's new here. And listen, in the Bible, God tries to let us know that we are in a kingdom when you come to Christ. And in this kingdom, there is order. Apostle Paul, first and foremost, I want you to know that he said, one, it comes to seniority, the man in creation is senior to the woman. And a junior cannot give instruction to a senior. Secondly, we are talking about salvation, redemption. Something happened that reduced us to what we are today. The word of God was given to the man and the woman. It was the woman that messed it up, that brought us to what we are here today. It is because of what that woman did that sent Jesus Christ to the cross of Calvary to suffer all he suffered to bring us back. In this process of restoration, he, God, has delivered the word of restoration, the word of redemption, the word of salvation. This time, he took it away from the woman and left it with the man so that it will not be messed up a second time. Until the process is over, leadership of the church will remain with the man. This is the order. Now we are not talking about fundamental human rights. We are talking about salvation. We are talking about redemption. We are talking about the kingdom of Christ. And when we say this, it's not about one feeling better than anybody. The man is not better. than the woman. When it comes to salvation, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither male nor female. When it comes to salvation, because the Jews, the average Jew, the Jew as a nation believes that they are the special race. And in grace period, through the cross, Gentiles have also come in now. And now, you cannot say in Christ, you are this, you are that, you are this, you are that. We are all one, as redeemed. But when it comes to leadership, he gave some apostles. He gave some prophets. He gave some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers for the work of the ministry, for the perfecting of the saints, for the edification of the body. They are the leadership to watch over the church, but there is also the body of Christ. When you come to Christ, you are a functional member of the body, supplying something in the body. That is your ministry in the body of Christ, is therefore determined by the gift you have. Whether you are man or woman, those gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 9 of them, or maybe 11 of them, men and women can operate any of them. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, healing, discernment of spirit, tongues, and interpretation of tongues, and the rest. 9 of them. It belongs to both men and women. But when it comes to leadership, it is given only to man. And that is what was expressed when it comes to the tribe of Levi. There was no woman, because we are not talking about political office like the offices Deborah held in the book of Judges. No. We are talking about ministry at the altar. Deborah never came to the altar. Never came to the temple to minister there. She was a political figure there. But when he came to the altar, he, God, reserved a whole tribe to be the tribe that he did not give any inheritance. And that tribe had men and women. But we never saw a woman priestess. Only the male in the lineage of Levi, we are ordained priests. And when Christ came and then was now instituting grace, he came and chose 12 disciples. He did not add a woman to it. It's not by mistake. And even when Judas left, as close as Mary Magdalene and the rest were with Christ, they did not replace Judas with any of the women. They still chose another brother. It's not by mistake. It is with that revelation. A woman has no place at the altar given instruction according to the order of the gospel. God bless you. Praise the Lord. And that is why I want to emphasize this again this morning. When Christ says in verse 38 of John chapter 6, where we read earlier, "For I come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me." We need to emphasize this. That Romans 8:28 also tells us that we are called according to God's purpose. God calls us for his own purpose, not our own purpose. And talking about the will of God is so important we understand this as a church. And we continue to remind ourselves. Because there's a scripture that stands before every one of us. That's Matthew 7 verse 21. Can we read it? We all know it, but just for emphasis. Matthew chapter 7 verse 21. Where he says, "Not all." Let me read it. "Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall it enter into the kingdom of heaven? But who? But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. It's not everyone that is shouting, Lord, 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 that we enter. And when you are saying, Lord, 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 there, he's actually saying, it's not everyone that will serve me. Because in verse 22, he made it clearer. Matthew 7:22, he said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, what will he say? I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that walk iniquity. I like to emphasize this because every one of us, every believer, every Christian wants to serve God. And it is good to serve God. But we have to serve God according to his will for it to be accepted. We have to serve God according to his will for our service to be accepted. When somebody will stand before the Lord Jesus and tell him boldly, was it not in your name I cast out devil? It means he is sure in the name of Jesus, bam, something happened. He was doing miracles, signs and wonders, crusades in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And things were happening, and he's coming boldly now to enter into the kingdom. And Christ is saying, you did that quite all right, but I didn't know you. Why will he not know you? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, when Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, where he says that all run in a race, but it's not everyone that obtains the crown. In the track events, they draw lines in the track in athletics. They draw line. Before the gun is shot, they go around to tell them, this is your lane. This is your lane. This is your lane. No matter how fast you run, no matter how wonderfully you can run, and you arrive there first, if in the course of running you did not remain in your track, one leg cross to the other track, no matter how early you arrive, you will not receive the crown. And so in that scripture, Apostle Paul said we should run according to the rule. In this Christian race, run this race according to the rule. If not, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Only when you get there, expecting a crown, you find rejection. And when we speak like that, people look at us as some critics. You are busy looking at anointing and anointing. You are busy looking at the voice that spoke to you. You are looking at so much anointing that has been poured upon you. You are looking at the voice that spoke to you on the mountain, the voice that spoke to you in the dream, the prophecy that was released to you that enables you to do what you are doing. Let me tell you, the mystery is deeper than that. Hallelujah. The mystery is deeper, much, much, much deeper than that. Praise the Lord. Many of us want to help God. You cannot help God. All the people gathering here, that all with all the men here, none of them even can teach like me, woman. See souls here. See souls are perishing. See souls are perishing. So I decided to organize them. I went to the Lord and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, and God spoke to me clearly, my daughter, I have called you to gather all your kindred in Newi. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Listen, church. There is the perfect will of God and there is the permissive will of God. Hallelujah. And all I'm trying to tell you is that in walking this Christian walk, hallelujah, make sure you walk in the perfect will of God. So we are talking today about walking in the will of God. And please, by the end of this exhortation, you should be able to know which will you are standing on. You are either in the perfect will of God or you are in the permissive will of God. There is the permissive will of God and there is the perfect will of God. And sometimes we walk in God's permissive will and think that we are walking in His perfect will because we had a voice, because we saw a vision. Praise the Lord. And that is where the mystery is, and that is where the confusion is. And that is why Apostle Paul told Timothy, study, study, church. Don't just walk with God. Study and know this God so that you will know how to walk with Him. Study to show thyself approved. Approval comes from God. Approval unto God. A workman that need not to be ashamed. He emphasized rightly dividing the word of truth. The word of truth. Dividing, rightly understanding it and placing them correctly. We are coming back to the ministry of restoration. This is what this church is all about. This is what this ministry is all about. Wherever you are hearing me this morning, God raised up a servant in this age by the name of William Marion Braham with one message, and it is a restoration message. Restored to Bible faith. This Bible, hallelujah, is the foundation of our faith. This Bible is the mirror of your character. This mirror, I mean this Bible, hallelujah, is the compass that shows you the bearing from earth to glory. This Bible is the written word of God, preserved to guide us. It is our filter. Anything you do, judge it from this Bible first before you look at the gift. Before you listen to that voice, bring that voice back to this Bible. And if you make this Bible your guide, you will never miss it. You will never miss it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because you had a voice. You had a voice. There is the story of Balaam in the Bible. For those of you who may not know where that story is, it's in Numbers chapter 15 and chapter 16 where I am making reference to. Take time and read it on your own. The Israelites were on their journey from Egypt to the promised land. They were passing one nation and the other, passing from city to city. And anywhere they reach, God will show Himself there that they are His children. And fear was all around the nations as they passed by. This king of the Moabites, King Balak, heard that they are coming and they are going to pass through his land. And for fear, he went to a prophet, a soothsayer, a seer, that knew that anything he said will come to pass, by the name of Balaam. Balak sent emissaries to Balaam to tell him, these people are coming, describe them, and say, should go and curse them. Balaam decided to go and find out from God if he should do it or not. All night vigil, he was praying, Lord, hallelujah. And remember that when they came to him, he made a statement. He said, I will only do what God tells me to do. Very holy brother, isn't it? A man that walks by the word of God only, direction of God only. Now listen, before you know what, the Lord came to him in the night and told him, Balaam, these my children, they are blessed, and you cannot curse whom I, God, have blessed. Anytime I read that statement, I get very excited. Church, have this confidence behind you. No man can curse you. God has blessed you. No man can curse you. Hallelujah. So no weapon of the enemy fashioned against you shall prosper. It includes curse. When a man tells me, I curse you, I lie. You know that it is a statement in futility. It cannot work. And he knew it. In the morning he came and told them, go and tell your king, God say we cannot curse these people. They went and Balak sent again to him. So the first voice that he heard from God is God's perfect will. You cannot curse whom God has blessed. Balaam, go and tell him, it's not possible. This one cannot work. Others, they work for you, but this one, it cannot work. Then the king brought more gifts. The Bible referred to that as the wages of unrighteousness. They were sent to Balaam. He saw money. He saw gifts. And were telling him, all this for you. Curse them. You have the power. Curse them. And I will give you this, and I will give you this, and I will give you this. Then, when he saw this, he said, okay, wait, let me go and find out again. And the interesting aspect is that he went before the Lord the second night. Lord, I don't know whether I hear you well or not. Repeat, Lord. And his mind is on that. He knows God has spoken. And the interesting thing is that God told him, okay, Balaam, go. You can go. Go, go, go and curse them. Go. He said, go, go now, go. And then the vigil was over. He prepared. Saddled himself, his animal, his vehicle, his car. Enter. Where are you going? Balaam, where are you going? What will Balaam tell them? God said. But did God say so? Yes. But God also said, don't go first. Then the second time, God said, go. Does God change his mind concerning his word? No. There's only one thing that God changes. God changing his mind concerning judgment. Hallelujah. That is the only thing. If he pronounces that he will judge you, if you repent, he will change his mind. But concerning his agenda, his perfect will, God does not change. I am the Lord, I change it not. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And we know the rest of the story. And that is how he will have died on the way, if not for the mercy of God. Say, God, tell him to go. You are going not because God sent you. You are going to fulfill your heart desire. God was giving Balaam his heart desire. Now, there is your own will and there is God's own will. Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed to the Lord, Lord, if it is possible, let this cup pass away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy own will be done. I've told you this several times, and I'm saying this as, you know, to encourage you that there are people that pray that type of prayer. Because the man's will is very, very strong. God created us and gave us our own will. And he does not even strive with you concerning your will. He leaves you to exercise your will. He drops it and he drops it. This is the tree of life. This is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Use your will. But if you take this one, there will be life. If you eat this one, you will die. And leaves you to exercise your will. so that the consequence you will face it, until even your own will can bend the will of God. So strong that can cause God to speak to you. Why he gives you your heart desire is because of the power of your will, so that he can rest from you. Because there are people that go to the mountain and do dry fasting on things that are contrary to the will of God. And they will disturb God day and night. Disturb God day and night on things that are contrary to the will of God. And I've always said it, if you have to do dry fasting to be able to receive something from God, it is evidence that that thing you are crying for is not God's perfect will for you. And if eventually answers you, he has granted your heart desire. It is his permissive will, not his perfect will. Because 1 John chapter 5 verse 14 already made it clear. If you ask anything according to my will, he said according to God's will, he hears. Do you need dry fasting to ask? If you have to, you know, you are doing dry fasting to bend God's own hand. So it's important you know God's will. You will enjoy your Christian life. And that is the mystery. And then he was going. And he's believing that it is God that sent him, because he had a voice. But the first voice that spoke to you, you didn't hear that one. It's the second one that spoke that you are holding on to. Always, two trees stand before us. Always, two choices stand before us. Your own will or God's own will. And when you are walking in your own will and God is answering you, just know that he is walking with you according to your own will. Now it is no longer you following God, it is now God following you. It is no longer God in front of you, it is now God behind you, is following you. And I have asked God several times, Lord, let my own will be buried in your will. Every day, every time. It's my prayer every day. Let me never walk in my own will. For I have no power of my own. I have no power of my own. When I was a little boy, when God was speaking to me concerning the latter days of my life, his letter on I understand, I remind him, even yesterday in my prayer, I reminded God. I remind him every day. Because in that revelation, he gave me a book and said, follow me. And so, and I collected the book and I was following, and we were going from place to place and judging the people. And I remind God, I said, I am not going to pray like Moses prayed. If you will go with me, if you will not go with me, don't follow me. I said, no, my own is, I will go with you, not you, go with me. There is difference. Where he leads me, I will follow. That is my song. Don't say, God, go with me. God, go with me. Let me go with you. To go with God is different from God going with me. I don't know if I'm saying something. That is how some people move with God. You set your own will, and then you set your own agenda, and that is how you must follow. And so God will continue to tell you now, hey, where we go? It's your partner now. He will follow you now. Yes, go, Oga, go. He's actually telling you now, you be Oga, Oga, go. And so you want her now. Hey, anywhere you go, where you lead me, God is singing also. Where you lead me, I will follow. Where you lead me, so I will follow. Then you want to ask him, oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. God's perfect will alone stands. Don't help God. Anytime you try to help God, you bring problem to yourself. And you bring problem even to your family, even to people around you. Sometimes the problem you bring become everlasting problem. generational problem because you want to help God instead of staying and being led by God himself. That is the story of Ishmael. That is what produced Ishmael. God promised Abraham that he will give him a son from the loins, from his loins, and from the womb of his wife Sarah. 25 years after God spoke face to face with Abraham, 25 years the promise was still waiting. And so Abraham is getting old. She herself is getting old. And so idea came. Since God promised you a child, oh yeah, now you can see that there's no way I can have a child again. I'm getting to almost 90 years now. So which begin again? Menopause, don't pass. Hey, no ovulation again, no menses, nothing. Even the womb don't dry inside. So waiting again. That man will come to you, will talk to you that day. Sure, say now God. Abraham said, I know my God. I know my God. Okay, you know your God. Now so you go there, you know your God, know your God. Okay. Now this Eliezer of Damascus will inherit everything you have. Better have one from your loins, whether not from me or not, at least at your picking. See this, my beautiful house help. Oh yeah. Hagar. Amen. Hagar did not commit any sin. She was a very obedient slave. Anything madam say I do, now they do. Now madam say, oh yeah, go in. No wahala. And we know the story. Hallelujah. What did he produce? He produced Ishmael. And I watch it. Amen. But it is a son from Abraham. It's not Abraham, he promised him a child. So you can as well say, this is my son. God, you told me, but you didn't. But did God tell you it will come from Hagar or from Sarah? That is the problem that is existing till today in the Middle East. All these Arab nations have come against Isaac and his seed. Impatience produced that. And then here you are, Sister Sarah, you want to help God to fulfill his word. But my Bible tells me that God watches over his word to perform it. At the appointed time, the vision may tarry. I don't know which promise God has given you. Wait on the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They will run and they will not be weary. They will walk and not faint. Praise the Lord. And pray, teach me, Lord, to wait. Hallelujah. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Hallelujah. There is always a waiting period between planting time and the harvest time. There is always a waiting period between thus said the Lord and the fulfillment. But impatience destroys your testimony. And at the end of it all, you are the one that will regret it. Because God folds his hands to look at every one of us. And this, and please, you see where the mystery is even deeper. Do you know that while that Ishmael was in the womb of Hagar, do you know that the angel of the Lord prophesied the name? Does it not look as if there's approval from heaven? Eh? The same way, hallelujah, hallelujah, all that Isaac benefited, the prophecy concerning Isaac, everything, even 12 nations, even the prophecy said you'll be great. He will be great, but he added, but he will be wild. Now, are they not one of the wealthiest nations in the world today? But they are what? The suicide bombers and everything come from them. They are wild. Every man, everywhere, anywhere is against them. Battle, anywhere, everywhere because somebody refused to wait for God's word to come to pass. Because somebody decided to bend it a little bit out of impatience. Sarah, praise the Lord. And it is not enough, sister, that God gave you the name of your ministry. I told you how big the ministry will be. How wonderful the ministry will be. The whole world will know you. There will be none like you. No matter how much grace you have, no matter how much anointing you have, mighty miracles, signs, and wonders. Hallelujah. Is that the perfect will for you? The perfect will is already written in the Bible. Any other thing you do, any other voice you hear, it is God's permissive will. And remember that in Ezekiel, is Ezekiel chapter 14, where he told the prophet that if the people will come with their idols in their hearts to inquire of me, he said, I, the Lord, will answer them by myself. Hallelujah. He, God, will answer them according to the desire of their hearts. And he said, if the prophet be deceived, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet. Oh, can a prophet be deceived? Yes, by God himself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then he said, that prophet that prophesied according to your will again, he, God, will turn around again and destroy that prophet. But it is God that caused that prophet to prophesy like that. And he come again and then destroy him. Can't you fear this God? Won't you stay and study him? Is he wicked? He's not wicked. There's a reason why he's doing that. I'm a servant of God. The Lord spoke to me. When I hear them giving their testimonies, I'll be thrilled. I'll see how a blind man is talking. See how a blind woman is talking. And they are sitting down there. I saw one today. I called my wife's attention. Their church is at Warri. Make a no call them today. And you know that woman is nothing but a fashion, what do you call it now? What do you call models? All she's doing, she just comes to model the latest fashion on the pulpit. And you see her, and I know, and then she dresses outlandishly. Everything in her appearance is contrary to how the Bible tells a woman to dress. And she's standing at the pulpit, and then she's speaking and prophesying a man about, I mean, you know, telling them, oh, you will make it. You will not die this year. Anyone that arises against you, they will fall by the way. And then she's vibrating and vibrating in a high heel shoe that is higher than anything you can think of. And then she's there mincing and walking and mincing her steps. And then screaming and then shouting. And then the husband is behind there. Oh, my, he's in the spirit. And then everybody else is in the spirit. And no wonder Apostle Paul said there is another spirit. God didn't call that woman to do what she's doing according to the judgment of this Bible. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Isaac. Hallelujah. Isaac is the promised child. No matter how soon, I don't know if we still remember this message. I preached a long time ago. The reason why Ishmael will not be here with Isaac. Who remember that message? Eh? Who remember that message? Oh, that is why we are not a denomination. Oh, I preached it under a title. I titled why we are not a denomination. Who remember it again? Shall I come back and preach it? You need to know who you are. Oh, you think that story is about Abraham and his family? It is about Christ and his church. Okay, God will give us time. We shall talk about it. But for today, hallelujah. No matter how Ishmael came first, hallelujah. No matter how many years Ishmael came first, before the promised child came forth, the purpose of God shall not be defeated. Galatians chapter 4. Let's read Galatians chapter 4. I think that verse is verse 21. Hallelujah. From verse 22. He said, for it is written, I'm reading Galatians chapter 4. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. Who is the one by the bondmaid? Who? Say very loud. Ishmael. He was given birth to by the denominational spirit. He was given birth to by a slave woman. The other by a free woman. Who is the one that was by a free woman? Isaac. But he who was of the bond woman was born after the flesh. After the flesh. It was with the wisdom of man. But he of the free woman was by thus saith the Lord. By promise. If you go to verse 28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, we are also the children of thus saith the Lord. Children of promise. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted them that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. What do we do when they come demolish our church? Are we not all children of the same father? But one is after the flesh. Another one is after the spirit. And the one in the flesh will always persecute the one that is of promise. I will preach it, don't worry. I will come back to that sermon. Praise the Lord. Nevertheless, verse 30. What said the scripture? What is their end? There must be separation. There must be separation. Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but we are children of the free. Glory be to God. That is why we are not a denomination. And that's why they will continue to fight us. That's why they will continue to fight us. Did any denomination come here to felicitate with us? Come here to greet us? Or to even comfort us in any way? When this place was demolished and they were fighting us left, right, up, down, center, the reason was because it was, hallelujah, amen, because it's because of who we are. Amen. But I'll be a good soldier. I will stand at my post. Praise the Lord. There shall be separation. Serious separation. All I'm trying to say is, at the end of it all, no matter how old, how soon, how great Ishmael will be, Isaac is still coming. The perfect will must stand. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And don't tell me, many of you are watching the anointing on that woman pastor, watching the anointing on that fornicator prophet, watching the anointing on that adulterous pastor, watching the anointing on that commercial prophet as an evidence that God is with him. But Matthew 7:21 says, at that day, he will say, he didn't know him. Why? Hallelujah. We have a story. And please, God is no respecter of persons. Amen. Because another thing again we use to believe that God is with a pastor is that this ministry is accepted worldwide. And let me quickly tell you this. If your ministry is accepted by unbelievers, if your ministry is accepted by sinners, they wine and dine with you, they feel free to attend your conventions and your crusades, they associate with you, they give you money, and they embrace you, it is evidence that you are of them. Light and darkness can never join together. Hallelujah. Oh, why do you do like that? Let them, let them all come in. Then when they come, then they will hear something and they will give their life to Christ. I have taken time to watch what you are saying, Ogachio, with those people sitting down there. I don't see you telling them anything that can bring repentance to them. I see you, Oga Chio, Oga Archbishop, Oga whatever you call yourself, you say things so that they will not be hurt. There is nothing you tell them that can make them stop being members of their cult confraternities. There's nothing that can make them stop going to their shrines and pay oblation to them. Even as they are sitting down there, some of them have things in their pockets and in their waists. And there's nothing you have said. I have never seen any of them come to the altar to kneel down. Even when you say pray, I see them not even removing their caps. Oh, glory be to God. And then we are looking at them because we don't know the scripture and we are thinking that it is evidence of approval from God. That's why every day, open my eyes that I may see. Oh, glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Let be my heart that wonderful King. Oh, thou shalt honor and set me
silent in
before God. I have tried to understand that scripture, and my only understanding there is to see that people that we think are men of God, they may be before God abominable things. Because they walk not according to the perfect will of God. God is not a respecter of person, and he demonstrated it in the life of Moses. Every one of us don't know the dealing of God with Moses that is supposed to be a signpost for us, an example for us, a lesson for everyone who thinks it's anything to know. So that you can tread carefully and understand why Apostle Paul said, walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. Moses knew the perfect will of God. See, where the confusion is, I have tried to explain this several times, and I'll continue to repeat it for anybody that may be hearing me for the first time. Like that, our sister, who believes that the woman also has the ability. You have the ability, but it must be used according to the due order. There is the due order. Hallelujah. David. Yes. The ark has been with the Philistines all these years. In the days when Paul Saul was ruling Israel. Now the mantle is on you, spiritual David. Now go and bring the ark. And 30,000 men and women. Is it 30 or 300,000 men and women? In that revival, David did dance, so the revival was going on. They took that ark in the latest anointing, in the new anointing. Hallelujah. And they were there speaking in tongues and jumping up and down. God has come back with us. We are the latest church in town. Now God is vindicating me. It is in my time that the gospel will spread. Wow. David was bringing the ark of the Lord. And then you don't see. Oh, then they brought it. They were going in a new cart. And they put an animal to carry the ark of God. An animal. We are the Levites. God did not ordain an animal to carry his word. Hallelujah. God did not ordain an animal to carry his word. And he put two animals. And then they were dragging elegantly, beautifully, and they were going. God himself decided when God should rejoice. Is it good that the ark of God should be among unbelievers, the Philistines? God should say, well done, my servant. Well done, my servant. And increase the grace. Increase the grace. Instead, suddenly the cart stumbled, and the beautiful ark of God was going to fall. And a spiritual Uzzah went to hold it so that it would not fall. Oh! Why would somebody learn something from this thing? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I can say many things from this, even from things happening in this church. But I may be misunderstood, so let me not go that way. But there are facts before us, even in this ministry. Hallelujah. There are some separations that must take place. For the ministry to move forward. And separation can even come by quarrel. And that quarrel shall be the perfect will of God. Praise the Lord. And then Uzzah wants to help. Peacemaker. Peacemaker. Don't fight. Don't quarrel. You are brothers. Don't quarrel. Come together. Uzzah, the hand of God, struck him dead. And then David, the head, because David is spiritual himself. His head, he came normal. Say, Abeg. They carried this same ark to the house of another Philistine, Obed-Edom. They took it and dropped it there. And see, so that you will know it is God's perfect will. When that ark went to that same Philistine's house, they began to prosper. As long as the ark was there. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. But the people that the ark belonged to, it brought death to them. So something is wrong. David said, let's find out what is happening. And it was only then they now asked the question that they would have asked before going to carry that ark. They would have asked, how are we supposed to carry this ark? Okay, woman leader, woman pastor, you will ask, what is the pattern of my ministry in the New Testament? What does the Bible say concerning my ministry in the New Testament? And then suddenly, David saw that it is written. Somebody shout, it is written. Say it again, it is written. The person that gave instruction for the construction of the ark also gave instruction of how to carry it. It will be carried by four Levites, not four Jews. They must be from the tribe of Levi. And they are not to carry it like this. They are to carry it on their shoulder. Two in front, two behind. Hallelujah. If you carry it in any other way, you are out of the will of God. Hallelujah. And David called everybody and told them, this thing that happened because we did not carry the ark according to the due order. The perfect will of God must be established. We shall continue next Sunday.